unless you love to sport yourself with your own deceivings. Unless your eyes are full of adultery and you cannot cease from sin. They exercise their hearts with covetous practice. Instead of exercising their hearts to godliness. By what? How do you exercise your heart to godliness? Well, just exercise your heart in the Word. Set your heart on the things of God. I do that by just picking up the Word and teaching it. To me, it's the most effective way. God has given me a mouth and wisdom to speak. So I need to speak, and that benefits me more than anything. I realize that now. Because I've read it all. I'm full. It's time for me to empty out the vessel. They exercise their hearts. Oh, I want this, I want that. I don't want to exercise my heart in the covetous practices. Covetous practices. You know, pleonexia? You ever heard of pleonexia? I think I've heard of that and actually used in English. You know what's interesting? When it said feigned words in verse 3, feigned words is actually plastos, where we get our word plastic from. Your pink and pleasant plastic Jesus. Yeah, I know that song. Verse 15. I don't care if it rains or freezes, long as I got my plastic Jesus glued to the dashboard of my car. I almost feel like looking that up. But that's what they've got, a plastic Jesus. Latex Jesus is not the one I want to preach to you. I want to preach against the latex Christ. The Christ who is only a condom. Only latex to protect you from those STDs. As your eyes full of adultery rove about, seeking what they may take in. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray. Following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. He was a prophet, but he loved to be paid. And he was a prophet for hire. I've seen these prophet for hires around. We have prophets for hire today. Come to your church. I mean, they don't charge up front, but they pass the hat. Hey, you know, the workman is worthy of his hire, they say. So, if we're sick in the right way, gone astray, following what Balaam was, well, again, he says it here. He was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with a man's voice. A dumbass spoke to a man. I use this when someone was trying to tell me that in the garden it wasn't a snake. And they were saying if the snake had talked, that would have been a bigger miracle than whatever they were saying. And I know this comes from my old teacher too. But you know, they don't like to believe that there was a snake, even though the word serpent is translated snake, serpent. You know, Moses, it's the same thing that Moses cast down with his rod, was a serpent, same word as in Genesis 3. But here, the dumbass spoke. Why can't a snake talk? You know, what if Satan inhabited the snake? I mean, I know it was Satan, believe me. I'm just saying, they say it had to be a form of a man because they want to make some other, they want to change the narrative is what they want to do. They want to make it into a different story. Change the narrative, change the story. And what does that say about the gospel? Absolutely nothing. Their gospel is the seed is the children of Satan, which is the Jews, and blah, 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 sons of Cain, blah, 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 blah. My gospel is the seed of the woman is Christ. And the seed of the serpent is the sinful, is those who are the children of the devil. It says in this, the children of Satan and the children of God are manifest. This is from 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to go into that very soon. That's next up. Well, I think we'll slip in James, Jude real quick, I think. What does it say? In John it says, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. But what does it say? He that is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed, God's seed, remains in him, and he cannot sin. The seed of God will crush the head of the serpent's seed, which is the sinners. You know, I will cause them to worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. And they will nip at our heels. That's Christ. I mean, Christ is the seed. And you understand, we are made like unto his image. By his death and resurrection, we are to also die and be raised in newness of life and be born again as not just myself reborn, but as Christ, and grow up into him. So all the righteous are one seed, Christ. We are all one, Christ. And the children of the devil, they are all united in sin. As the children of God are united in righteousness and godliness and being in the form of Christ. We conform to the image of our Father, and they conform to the image of their father. That is how the seeds work. Genesis 3:15 is very simply understood by 1 John chapter 3. Anyways, but the dumbass spoke to the man, and he forbade the madness of the prophet. They are wells without water, clouds that are carried about with a tempest. The mist of darkness is reserved forever. Again, that idea of mist of darkness, the darkness. Death is darkness and blackness of darkness forever. As it is said in, they say, eternal separation from God. They're quoting from 2 Thessalonians, which says they will be punished with everlasting destruction from his presence. But as the psalmist says, if I go down to hell, thou art there. Wherever, God, anything, any sort of eternal existence for the wicked would be an affront to the truth of God's word. But those who teach it don't realize that if there was such a thing as an eternal torture chamber, which they commonly call hell, then, and notice we haven't really come across anything about eternal torture yet in anything we've studied. And when we do, we will talk about it. But this is sort of like the eternal punishment is here. You know, they're